You guys hear me? All good? Okay, this is the first time I'm wearing something like this, so I... Okay. Yes. All right. Okay, welcome here. Today we will have a discussion on class number 11 of the core seminary that we go through as Sunday school adults, Sunday school this second half of this year. And today's topic we'll be talking about is on giving and service, sacrifice for the sake of the church. And why don't we start with prayer, and then I'll get into it, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you that we can gather here freely, and Lord, I just pray that as we go on this endeavor of talking on the service in the church and things related to it, and Lord, I just pray that your name be made great in all things we say and all things we do, and I just pray that you'll be present here with us, and that your name be glorified in all things we do. We love you. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start out with the introduction. You all have your handouts. Okay, I will try to stick to the outline. I will have to make a confession. I have no idea about my time frame. I will just go along. If we'll be short 20 minutes at the end, then I will invite you to the after gathered prayer to finish it with me. If if we are early 15 minutes, we can have a Q&A. Sounds good? So I'll just go through the lesson. If you have any questions, I would encourage you to write them down. Don't forget them, whatever it takes to have them. And if we have time later on to raise them, well, like I said, I mean, we do life together, so it's not like I'm running away after this. Okay, so let's start out with the meaning of what we do. What do we mean when we talk about service? When we talk about service, and that will be the focus of today, is we as members of this church, what does it mean to us to spend ourselves for the sake of the church? And what I want you to do is I want you to open Mark 10:45. We are all familiar with Isaiah 52:53, the accounts of Christ, the suffering servant, right? And as we start, like Mark, all right, Mark 10:45. Sorry. All right. Okay, I just want you to have it open. And why do we have to talk about service, and why do we have to talk about sacrifice in service? And I think as we study the scriptures, we come across over and over the aspect of gaining by giving. We are coming across so many things where service is being put into place as the means of gain. Like, we live in a world where service is more or less being placed as something that you give away, right? It's something that you get rid, like you kind of give, and it kind of leaves you, and you no longer have any relationship to what you give, etc. But when we read the scriptures, we see in the example of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection, a perfect model, a perfect example of what it means to serve, what it means to give up your life for the good of others, and et cetera, et cetera. And when we talk about Christ, him being the model of all, we read in Mark 10:45, those words. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So here we have Christ, the ultimate example and model of service, of servanthood. Him giving us the example of what it means to serve. Him being the example of what the necessity of service in our life as a church together. And as we will discuss today, continue to discuss the matter of service, first we will put together what does the Bible teach us on what does service mean? What does giving mean? And from then on, we will move into, well, how does it apply? How does it display itself in our life as a church? How does it, what are the dangers of serving in particular ways or serving with the wrong attitude, et cetera, et cetera. So there's four outlines that we will address how it looks in our life as a church. Okay? So as we move into, well, before we move into the discussion, the biblical basis for servanthood, what I want, the purpose of today's lesson is, and I'm hoping I'm getting it across and I'm hoping we will cover it to some degree or another, is that we need to see the necessity of the members of the church to being, to see themselves as part of the whole body, to see themselves as a part of a unity, part of something that is not in and of themselves, but they are part of something that, in combination of all things that come together, form one unity. And we, what we want to talk about is the that as the church grows in unity and service being one of them, it displays in this one form of witness to the world around us that watches. Okay, and as the church grows into the unity through the aspects of serving, we portray the beauty of Christ to a watching world around us. A church that is united, a church that serves each other, and the service is happening for the good of the church in general, is a great witness to the world, to a watching world, that sees a people that come together and have unity. They have, they're one. There's something about a unity in the church, where service is happening, where sacrifice is happening towards the members to each other for the sake of showing the body as one unit to a watching world. Okay, and so we will start with 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. We want to read it, and I think this passage is one that summarizes very well what does the Bible teach us to about what service is and what the purpose is, etc., etc. Okay, 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, those two verses are a very nice summary of when we speak about servanthood, when we speak about service and giving and a life lived in sacrifice for the sake of the church, this is the summary of it. This is the summary of what it means and what how we are to approach it. So in this passage, we have five aspects of that that show us what service is. One of them is that each Christian has been gifted, has received a gift. Each born-again child of God is a recipient of graces given to them by God, by grace. There's no such a thing as those who have and those who don't have. Each child of God has been, by the power of the Holy Spirit, enabled and given a gift that he extends to the body. Okay, and so there is no such a thing as haves and non-haves. This is something that we have to clarify in the beginning, because there's always a discussion about what if I don't, you know, like whatever. But we need to understand, and that's the basis. As the children of God, we have been gifted, and God has enabled us, and God has given us means by which we participate in the life of the church, and by which we contribute to the good of the church. Each Christian, as we had read, is responsible for serving and using the gifts given by the grace of God for the good of church. it is our responsibility as children of God to contribute to the good of the church in our sacrificial living out of our gifts. Today we talk about service. For the benefit, and it is given to us for the benefit of others, for the upbuilding of the church, ultimately for the glorification of God. So the whole church, as it lives together and participates in each other's life and practices their gifts for the sake of others, for the upbuilding of the church, the ultimate goal of it all is to glorify God in all things that occur in our body. Okay? Another aspect that we read here, Christians are not asked to come up with their own philosophies on how to practice their gifts or how they be involved in systematic practice. Christians are told that all that is happening in the church is to be done in utter dependence upon God. That God is the one who enables, and that it is God who brings to fruition all the things that come to pass within the life of the church. And so we as Christians have to be on guard whenever we face times where we approach things to be achieved in our own strength. These are warning signs when, as soon as we start depending on our own strength in serving, this should be a warning to us. As soon as we put God out of the equation and put out of the equation our dependence upon Him who gives the gifts and who enables the church to function as a body, we function on our own. And that's like a candle that will burn down and will have no effect from then on. So each Christian is, like as we just clarified, each Christian is gifted in one way or another. There's many ways in which a Christian is portraying God's work in his life, and there's many manifestations of graces in a Christian's life that God is enabling a person to walk in obedience, to walk in the life honoring and glorifying Him. So as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and 12, if you want to, you can open up to that. We should all know it by heart because Pastor Eric was teaching on it for a year. All right. When we talk about the purpose of serving and giving, when we open the chapter 4, verse 12 of Ephesians, this is what it says. For the equipping of, and we are trying to answer the question of the purpose of, what's the purpose of service? What's the purpose of giving? What's the purpose of the whole, why is it necessary? Okay? And this is a nice summary and clear take on what the purpose of serving and giving within the church is. 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So you are given gifts. You have given grace. A grace has been extended to you by God for the purpose of, not for the fulfillment of your own dreams of success or for your own achievement of goals that you have set into your own mind. You are gifted within the body with the gifts that God has given you for the sake of building up the saints, as we just read in Ephesians, and for the building up of the whole body of Christ. It is not just for personal and private experience of growth. It is not just for the sake of maturity of an individual. You have been gifted for the purpose of, yes, growing personally, but the ultimate purpose and goal of your giftedness or gifting is to contribute to the growth, to the health of the whole body of which you have been made a member and be a part of. Okay? So it's not an individual pursuit of fulfillment of goals and successes. Having said that, a warning is to be made knowing that we have been gifted, each one has of us has been gifted, we all have received the graces of God to a life in Christ. There is a danger of acknowledging your gifting and neglecting everything else around you, and only insisting on being a servant in the area that you feel gifted in. So there is the aspect of danger. There's always, like every time you have something, like when we talk about the tasks in gifting, there's always the danger of someone making a pet out of the gift and neglecting everything else around it and making it like a fulfillment of their own goals, fulfillment of their own display of their graces. And so there's always this danger of neglecting in serving for the strengthening of the whole church. When the focus shifts from serving the church on personal growth alone, there's always the danger of separation. There's always the danger of drifting away from the ultimate goal of serving the church and making God's name great. Something that we need to remind ourselves as we talk about the gifting, as we talk about the graces that God has given us, is yes, you can have a perception of that you think you're gifted in one way and be totally wrong in your perception. But the thing is, that shouldn't keep you from serving. Okay, when we talk about gifting, we have sometimes this idea of looking for a piece of diamond in the desert, you know, and we as human beings sometimes tend to find, or we think we found that diamond, and we make an idol out of it, and we don't see the intent and purpose for what this diamond was actually intended to be used. Okay, so and sometimes we are using our giftedness as a self-indulging aspect of our life in Christian of our life as a Christian. So yes, you can serve in a church and think that you have you can be wrong about being gifted in one area, but you are never wrong in serving the church in whichever way opportunities are given to you. So you can, I don't want to say it's okay to be wrong in that. I'm just saying that as we try to contribute to the good of the church and we try to figure out how can we help, where is my gifting placed, etc., etc., there will be times when you see something. Hey, this is good. I'm on it. I think I got this. And you can be wrong about that. But you're never wrong in being participant in the overall work of the church. Again, just I think we have to stop thinking in a way that I can only serve once I found what I'm gifted with or where I'm good at. Okay, we have to serve as a body wherever needs arise. We have to serve for the strengthening of the body, even outside of areas where we're gifted or not. So basically, whenever it comes to service and our thought on service and our pursuit of serving the church, yes, there is some aspects of personal growth, but keeping in mind, the ultimate goal is the growth of the church and the strengthening of the body and the coming together and growing together of a body, not of a member. Okay? Good. So so now that brings us, you have all your outlines. We have point three. This is where we are right now. How should we serve in a way that promotes unity? First Peter 4:10. We read, As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold graces of God. Okay. So we should serve in a... Sorry, I lost the line here. Verse 11, okay, because that's where the confusion came up. Okay, just a second, I tried to trace back what I... Oh yeah, right, sorry, then I mistyped it. Okay, sorry, I had a typo on my paper. Okay, yeah, it's 11, that's the connection, sorry. So verse 11, right, talking about we should serve in God's strength. Verse 11. Okay, good, I'm going to read it. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking at the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay? So here the reference, I think, when we talk about how should we serve in a way that promotes unity, it is always in reference to dependence on God, a joyful dependence on God. And when we read sorry, I've lost track a little. I had written down some examples on how it looks in real life as when we talk about the serving in dependence on God, and two examples that maybe I should tell. Okay, there is this attitude of let's call him Johnny, there is a task at hand in the church, and let's say cleanup day in church. Okay, and then there's this Johnny who is the best cleaner in town, you know. But then he doesn't feel like going there. He doesn't want to go and help with the cleaning at the church. And so he's trying to find all reasons not to. At the end, he decides, you know what? I'll go just because, you know, like it doesn't harm me to have, to earn some brownie points or whatever. And after all, I'm going to look good after I'm done. Everything is clean and perfect and... you know, like people will look at what I've done and my name will show up somewhere on the paper, right? And so he goes and does that. Alongside at the same time is Maria. Let's call her Maria, okay? She's ill, she's been down, she's sick for the last couple of weeks, and she really wants to help the church and contribute to the good of the church in serving on that cleaning day the best she can. And so she realizes she can't. And so... on the day, she prays over it. On the day of the cleanup, she feels good enough to say, hey, you know what? I might give it a try. And so Maria shows up at church, and she still doesn't feel good, but she decides to serve coffee and sit in the foyer and serve coffee and give advice where to go, being the usher, so to say. Okay. So here we have two attitudes where we have... Johnny, who is fully capable, who would maybe make the best possible job. But looking at his attitude and looking at the way he approaches this task at hand, he doesn't see it in a way that, you know, like he's lacking the acknowledgement that, hey, you know what? God is the giver of all things, and even my ability of doing those things and being capable are a gift to me from God that he has given. So there is no gratitude towards the giftedness from God towards his skills or his ability to do so. Rather, he sees a benefit that he can gain by doing it, even though he doesn't feel like doing it, he doesn't want to do it, but he goes on and do it with a motive of personal gain, right? At the end of the day, we're looking at two results. We're looking at Mary's servanthood in serving the coffee. Coffee is drank, no cups are thrown in the garbage container, nobody sees it. We see at Johnny's final result of his work, and everybody like, oh yeah, look who did that. Look at those windows, how shiny they are. Whatever it is. Anyway, Johnny did it, and the product of his work is out in the public and is visible, and therefore Johnny basks in the glory, right? While Mary's service gets forgotten the next day. And so something we as a church need to do, and being very adamant at, is to be careful to categorize the areas of service which are happening in our churches. Okay, very often the ones that are out in the public, the people that are out in the, you know, like the most exposed ministers, whatever it is, staff, whoever is up in the front run and is exposed, those are the ones who get the most attention and also kind of glory, whatever. But something that we as a church need to learn to do is to see at the church and all who are part of it and all who are contributing to the well-being of the church as a unit, where we acknowledge the participation and the contributions of those who are in the backgrounds, where we acknowledge that the church is where it is based on many things coming together to form what it is. Okay? So something to keep in mind and as we continue is, and we'll talk a little bit about the way the Bible speaks about uses the body as in a way to describe how a church looks like, how the church is a portrayal of a body, and how this whole thing comes together, and that one, we will talk a little bit later about it. But as, what I want to say is that yes, there will always be a battle that goes on within us where we are prone to have motives that are not pure, that have intentions that are not correct, etc., etc. So the wrong pursuit of why we serve the church. And nevertheless, even though sometimes we, like when we go back to Johnny and to Mary, okay, if we call Johnny a Christian, let's say Johnny is a Christian and he's struggling with his attitude of heart, okay, should we say Johnny shouldn't do the task at hand? Should we say Johnny shouldn't participate because it's hypocrisy, right? No, what we as Christians should press on as we approach the dangers of the wrong motives, we should press on to acknowledging that our motives will not always be pure. Our attitudes will not always be in line of what we know is right or should be. Why? Because we live in a world where sin still has effect on us. No one serves perfectly. No one has pure motives alone all the time. So as we approach our lives in church, yes, we will struggle with motives and attitudes. We will struggle with going in on a task and be joyful and fully depend and acknowledging that God is the one who enables you to do the things at hand. Yet nevertheless, we should always be aware that whatever we do, First, we depend on Christ, on God, and Him doing the things through us and giving us the strength, and also that our motives and our attitudes are in. We will always be in battle of having the right motives and attitudes, and something that we need to pursue as if we are coming across in our walk and in our life in the church, as we want to serve the church, and in those attitudes and motives, we have to acknowledge that there are things outside of us that are competing with the things that we need, or especially when it comes to service. Often we find ourselves in a place where we want to. We're looking for excuses not to, right? Or, and very often that reveals our heart condition. And I think all find themselves in that boat. I think even in those places where we struggle with motives and attitudes, we can find goodness as of revealing our heart attitude, our heart conditions, that we are in need of change, and that's a change that has to happen ongoing and constant change to grow into the maturity, into the purity with our motives and attitudes that God desires for us. So should we keep Johnny from doing the task at hand because he has the wrong attitude and motive? No. But Johnny needs to test himself on why those attitudes and the motives in his heart are competing with the goodness of God that God has given him in serving. And it is an opportunity for Johnny to grow as well, to acknowledge that, hey, my motives and my attitudes are not right, and I need to repent of it, and I need to grow in that regard. Okay, so we don't stop serving because we don't have the right attitude and motive. We serve and we acknowledge that we need an ongoing provision of God's strength and God's ongoing change of our hearts to approach the tasks on hand with a joyful heart and full dependence upon God. Okay? So there was a lot of rabbit trailing down there. Sorry about that. Okay, good. We'll continue with the value of the gifts within a church and people gifted with it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17. There we read, if you want to open it with me, that would be good. Now we want to talk a little bit about people who are participating in ministry but find themselves in a place where they find no significance in what they do. People that are maybe in the background, some like not exposed or whatever, or even if open, they lose the meaningfulness, and they find themselves in a state of asking themselves the question, what's the point? Like this seems to be useless. There's no purpose in what I'm doing, okay? And sometimes it happens in a way when, usually it happens when the focus is lost from why, from seeing it as participation in unifying of the body of Christ. And usually when the focus shifts from, hey, I am part of something that is not single matter, but I'm part of a organism, so to say, that contributes in one way that is necessary in order for other things. So as we read Corinthians 12:17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? In verse 17, Paul is clarifying, making clear that not all body is a ear. Like if the body would miss a member that is necessary for it to be a body, where would where would that come from? The sense, like when in this case, it uses ears, right? And smell. It compares those two. Like if there would be no ear, who would be doing the hearing? If there would be no smell, who would be doing the smelling? Okay. If there would be no nose, who would be doing the smelling? So Paul in 17, Paul is bringing out the point of don't expect that they're all gifts are same. We shouldn't think in of gifts as in value or in grades. Also, there is a necessity for the diversity of gifts within the body in order for the body to be a body. And he continues that in verse 19. When we read 8:19, he makes it very clear. If they were all one member, where would the body be? This is talking about Jake the mechanic deciding to make his friend a favor, saying, hey, I'm going to replace your motor on your car, okay? And then his friend comes over, opens the hood, and he finds a big piston in it. And he says, whoa, what is this? He said, hey, I was going to make you a surprise, you know? Like, you know that the bigger the pistons, the more power your car has, you know? So I gave you one big one, you know, I'm sure it's like 55 liter something, you know. I'm not a mechanic. I don't know what this means. But anyway, just the significance of understanding that there is a diversity of members that form a body. And that the whole body cannot be one member. Like we cannot all be gifted with the gift of encouragement. If we were all just having that one gift and there's no diversity in gifts that come together to form that body, there would be a negligence on areas where you will not see a function of the body. You would just see an overwhelming activity and tasking on one area, but you will not see a body functioning as a body would function. So just like with the ears, if you have one big nose in front of you, it's not a body, right? It requires all the members to come together to form that body. Just like it requires all the nuts and bolts and everything to form a motor, right? You're not doing your customer a favor by giving him a 55-liter cylinder piston and saying, hey, bigger, better, you know, like you should be glad. So this, in the same way, we have to understand the gifting of the individuals in the church, that each is given a gift to contribute to the church in which he is part of to form a body that functions as a body with all the members that participating in it. Okay, so and in verse 18 of the same chapter, we read, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Acknowledging and recognizing as God is the giver, he is also the one who arranges the gifts within the body as need arises in the church. As a church body, we have to acknowledge ourselves that we can't all be gifted with one gift in the same way and to the same amount. We have to acknowledge that we are a body, and we have people gifted in one area, people gifted, but God is the one who puts us together, who brought us here together today and as a church, and he puts, there's a purpose and intent in him choosing the people that sit here today, people that are part of this local church, to function as a body and live and function in a way that he intends us to for his name's sake. Okay, so there's the necessity to understand that God is the giver, but he's also the one who arranges them. So we have to see or understand that our body, our church, is put together out of multiple parts that God has arranged to come together to form a unity. And we, as we pursue serving this body, in whatever gifts God has enabled us, we are to serve for the purpose of glorifying the one who arranged us to come here together and to form that body here in Steinbeck at Cornerstone. Okay, so each member is crucial for the function of the body. Having said that, there's always the danger of people not seeing their or looking at people that are very gifted in one area and being disheartened by, hey, I'm not a good singer, whatever, let's say that, okay? So, like, I wish I could contribute to the church in singing, you know what I'm saying? Which is, in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with pursuing a greater gift. We actually are taught in Corinthians that we should pursue the greater gifts, but it should never come out of the attitude of discontent with the blessings God has given us. It should never come out of envy because of jealousy. Like, often the motives behind pursuing higher gift or greater gifts is often, if I were to stand up there, there would be some aspects of glory that I receive. And that would be, that is something that, yes, we are to pursue the greater gifts to be used for the glory of God in the body, yet we are to be careful to desire and pursue gifts that ultimately are pursued and desired for the sake of our own glorification. So it should always be out of the heart that desires to serve the church, out of the attitude that sees that individual in the place where it is found itself right now, in a place of contentment of being part of the member, out of the attitude to glorify God in all things to do. So there's always, like, I don't know how to wrap it. Sorry. We are to pursue the greater gifts, yes. Yet it should never be out of the attitudes and motives of just because it's a greater gift, because there is a greater, immediate reward in it for myself. Yeah, recognition. Thanks, Trudy. Okay, so it should never be for recognition or for putting yourself on display. It should always be, if God has gifted me in that way, and if God desires me to glorify Him in this way, I want to glorify Him in this way, because God is glorified in it. And it should never come out of envy, jealousy, or pursuit of recognition. Okay? Good. Having said that, there's... If we find ourselves in a serving church where members are serving and pursuing the unity of the church, of the body, in service, etc., etc., there will always be the conflict of presumptuous judgment, where one member sees himself serving in a way, and he looks around and he finds another member sitting and doing nothing, or serving in a way that does not approve of the one who serves also. So there's always this the danger of looking outside of us and looking at the people around us and developing an empire of, or a rule book of how it should be done. And if somebody is out of line, then, you know, like, there's always the danger of not knowing, or, yeah, like, judgment, presumptuous judgment in the sense that it develops a critical state towards other members in the body because they don't do the way you want it, or they don't do it the way you see it right to be done. And so this is something that we have to guard ourselves on, because we don't know all the backgrounds, we don't know the hearts of the people that we are looking on, we don't know the hearts of the people that are around us. Should we be engaged in encouragement for other members in the body to pursue and do things and participate? Yes, we should be an encouragement to them. But as far as goes, we should be careful with being engaged in running around, judging people, or their involvements or their lack of it or whatever, just because we haven't developed a standard that they don't live up to. Okay. Good. So it brings us to a point where we talk about. Let's say Psalm 24:1. Let's open it up. Clarifying of who is in control and who is in charge of this of all things that are given to the church. We should serve to glorify God and to benefit others and yourselves. The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. That's Psalm 24, verse 1. So here we say, we talk about who, like when we talk about the gifts of the members, when we talk about it lived out and how it's done, whatever that. We have to acknowledge, as we read in Psalm 24:1, that it is God who owns all things, and God is the one who gives, and God is the one who governs things. And so we have to see it as a warning to us, or also an encouragement at the same time to us, as acknowledging that God is the one who I don't know, pulls the strings, is that the right way to say it? That God owns it all, including all our strength, including all the opportunities that arise, including all that is to be expressed in the church as we pursue and desire to serve one another and to live out our call to grow together as a church into a unity for the glory of God. And when we talk about the fact that God owns it all, we have to acknowledge that all of it, that God is not just a distant God who kind of sorry about that. That God puts people into place and leaves them up to themselves. That God is personally involved in each member of the body and working out their lives for the greater union of the church, and that God is the one who is calling all things into being, and God is the one who is also making those things come to pass, and he's the one who is providing the strength and providing the opportunities and providing the gifts to the members of the body to function as one unity. So point four, perseverance in doing good. Persevere. As we desire to participate in the church and being a member of a church that functions as one body, we are to acknowledge and to know that none is happening apart from a close walk to the Word of God, a close walk and a walk in a short distance, to a close distance to Christ in His Word and in prayer. And in all things we do as a church and as individual members of this church, we are to walk in complete reliance on God working out His purposes within the church. And that we are to walk in complete dependence of God's provision for our strength and God's provision for our motives, God's provision for our attitudes. And ultimately, we are depending day in and day out upon the application of the gospel in our life, in seeing us as people who are being transformed from one moment to another throughout our lives into the likeness of Christ for the glory of the one who places us into a local church in which we are called to serve one another, who places us into a community in which we as a church, as a union, as a unity, as a body, can portray and display God's love for the world, God's love for His people, God's love for His Son, and being of witness to the world around us, to the work that God has done in each individual here, and each individual, as diverse as we are, as we come together, how God is the one who puts a body together that functions for the purposes of fulfilling His calling and fulfilling His intent and purpose in all things that we are engaged with. And so, we have 5 more minutes. What I want to say and leave you with is that throughout history, God has worked out His plan of redemption by the use of simple and normal people that He has called and that He has brought together in full provision of His graces, in full provision of His mercy and love in His Son. He has put together simple and normal people to form the church in which He glorifies His name throughout all history, and through whom, and it is in the coming together of the most diverse people you can think of the coming together of sinners that come to repentance and to life in Christ, that God forms a body that He leads and that He uses for His glory. And so it's people like you and me, it's people that serve coffee in the back, people that set the tables for potluck, people that sweep the parking lot. It's the multiple, the diverse people that come together to form a union for the glory of God. And so as we about to close, I would like to point out a few opportunities in our church where, like, we as members of this church can serve and contribute to the greater unity within the church, where we can contribute as individual members for the sake of the growth of the church. There's a big array of opportunities that we can serve, that we can look into, or just to pursue for the great, to pursue the things that God intends for this church. And so there's a few ministries like it can be as simple as children education, kitchen, setting up tables, cleaning up, whatever it is, childcare, visiting seniors, ushers, building repairs, mentoring, discipleship. There's a vast number of opportunities that we as individual members of this body can serve the church for the sake of the growth and the strengthenings of the church for God's glory. Okay, so I'll close it with that. I'll close in prayer and then be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, and Lord, I just pray that, you know, you call to serve, that we, as your children, would take it to our hearts, and that we will desire to portray you and to function as one body, to live together, to grow your church and your kingdom in all things we do, for your glory. Amen.